Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Total Information AM.
It's over!
But wait.
We're going to overtime!
It's Total Information AM Overtime.
Overtime!
On KMOX.
KMOX News Time, 8:32. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Charlie Brennan, Tom Ackerman, and Scott Fawn. Welcome to Studio B, gentlemen.
Thank you very much. Morning.
Good to be here.
All right.
Oh, wait, I have been here.
You have been here all morning, bright and early. And now it's a beautiful sunny day. So let's see, where should we start? I guess let's start with Amazon because today is the official day. I don't know if we stop talking about it now until they pick a city or if we do a countdown until the announcement. I don't know how this is going to work, but the official pitches are all due today. So cities across the country are going to be giving their best presentation to be the next Amazon second headquarters. But now, maybe it's a way for us all to feel a little bit better if we don't get it. There's a lot of stories out there about the negative implications of if Amazon picks us. I'm still kind of hoping they do, though. Scott Vaughn, if you're a betting man, what do you think the odds are that they pick St. Louis?
Oh, I mean, I think we're probably, like everyone, an underdog. But I think the stories are bizarre. You know, you get 50,000 good-paying jobs, and there's a negative. There's no negative. That's wonderful stuff. It'd be a great thing. I think there's people that work very hard on this. They're professionals. They put the best foot forward. St. Louis is a unique place with a unique argument. And if they select here, that'd be outstanding, and there'd be absolutely no downside to that.
Yeah, I guess if you're talking to people in Seattle, they'll talk about how much the cost of living has gone up, how much wages have gone up, how it's being more congested. So, you know, they have, what, 53 buildings, something ridiculous like that in Seattle. But I guess that's a problem that we'll
in
put up with it if it happens. Charlie Brennan, what do you think?
I just feel sorry for all those other cities and towns that aren't going to get it. I don't know how they're going to react to it.
Listen
you know,
to you.
They'll
Love
be
it.
Crying in their beer and, you know. Look, they'll know that their wages won't go up, so the labor pool won't be too expensive. Their home values won't go up. Their traffic won't be harmed. So I think that's some condolence to those losing cities.
A benevolent thing that St. Louis should take this job, these jobs and this development, and they can cry in their not quite as fresh Anheuser-Busch beer.
Yes, exactly. You know, I got to say something. San Antonio's not applying. Do you see that? The mayor there has said, you know, we don't like the process, and we're not going to throw our hat in the ring. And that wouldn't be too much of a news story, but San Antonio is really good at creating jobs. It's in the top 5 or 6 in the nation. So it seems to know what it's doing, and when it came to this sweepstakes, they said, we're not going to participate.
Maybe they did that just because somebody in Texas said they're going to pick Austin.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the case. Good point. And does San Antonio have all the universities right there that St. Louis
Trinity.
Or Boston or, you know, they have some, but I like San Antonio, but I think we're a dark horse candidate for this. I mean, I think we have a shot. I think that's been laid out there. Our startup community, our universities, our mass transit downtown. I think there are some possibilities. I think there's a lot of land with which to develop. It's got to be close to mass transit, though. That's the thing. I think we have a shot. I don't know that it's a great chance, but I like that we finished strong, and it seems like we acted as if we deserve it because I think we do deserve it, but that we're a worthy candidate. I think we are. We're a major city. We're the 21st largest TV market in the country. I think we're right there with some of the biggest cities in the country. We've taken some punches to the gut. We need to get off the canvas and get going here.
Well, here's another good point, though, and I think you'll all agree that we were able, those of us in this room, but our local leaders, whom we have often criticized on this show, have managed to kind of come together, coalesce, put a plan together, and show that they can work together when it matters. So maybe even if we don't get it, this could be good news moving forward.
Absolutely. I think everybody learned something. I think there's a good feeling about this, and I think you have to give credit where it's due. Sheila Sweeney at the St. Louis Partnership. She's been the person, her and her team in the room actually doing the work, and they deserve a big pat on the back. I mean, we've all seen parts of it. It's an impressive thing to put together about St. Louis, and it'll be a template you can use. And also, I think probably the winner here, besides the winning city, is kudos to the Amazon PR department.
No kidding.
Oh, there's no doubt. Yeah.
Yeah,
because I wasn't ordering everything from Amazon already.
Well, let's face it. I mean, there's every possibility that Amazon already knows where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
And the sweepstakes is just going to sweeten the pot forever, wherever they wanted to go in the first place. I'd be very surprised if that's not the case.
I'm still not using Amazon Pantry, though.
Me either.
Even if they come here.
Yeah, I don't get it. Have you used Amazon Pantry, Tom?
No, I have not.
I'm a Schnucks delivery guy. I don't do the pantry thing.
No,
I don't even do that. The grocery store is down the street. I'll just go to the grocery store.
No, I've already, Scott, you weren't here for that, but I went on a rant about that. I love my friend Dave Peacock and all the good people at Schnucks, and I know the delivery service is great and all, but I'm a grocery shopper. Like, get in the car, go to the parking lot, walk in, get your cart, and do some shopping. Like, reach out, touch the produce. Go take things off the shelves, you know, get out and enjoy.
Reach out and touch someone. KMOX News Time, 8:38. We'll be back with traffic and weather. Overtime continues on KMOX. Debbie Monterey, along with Scott Fawn, Tom Ackerman, and Charlie Brennan. All right, so President Trump and Republicans have been trying to get rid of Obamacare in the worst way. And the executive order that the president signed last week, he said to Congress, okay, you guys need to get together and figure something out. So we have Lamar Alexander and Patty, I'm blanking her name.
Murray.
Patty Murray. Thank you. Oh, my goodness. They did get together across aisles, came up with an agreement that the president said, I think, on Tuesday that he liked. Then yesterday he didn't like it. And now we're not really sure what he thinks or where the Senate's supposed to go from here. Any ideas, Scott Fawn, on what President Trump is trying to do there?
Well, I think that they should just play the art of the deal back on him. I think we've seen that if they get a bill that they can plausibly say gets rid of Obamacare, then I think he'll sign it. I also think probably the moves he made earlier to take some of the subsidies away to really accelerate the end of Obamacare has probably helped precipitate this deal. And while no one will ever give him any credit for it, I think that was if there ends up being a bill, I think that's going to be part of the reason why, is they put some urgency to the situation. And it even brought some Democrats to have some urgency. So, yeah, I think whatever bill they pass and send to his desk, if they can plausibly say it gets rid of Obamacare. I don't think anybody's ever called Donald Trump a policy wonk. So I think he'll sign the bill. And I think they probably know that, and they're operating under that assumption.
Well, I think that's unclear. First of all, there is a bill. Murray came up with it, along with Lamar Alexander. So that's done. The president last week said, look, I'm going to stop the subsidies to the insurance companies, and people say, okay, that's going to drive up the cost of premiums. And among other reasons, you know, it's being litigated right now. Federal judges looking at it because some people had sued and said it's unconstitutional. A president like Obama cannot just give subsidies to insurance companies. Fair point. So the president cuts them off. Then early this week, you get Murray and Alexander coming up with a bill. The next day, he endorses it. The day after that, he withdraws his endorsement. What happened here was the following. Republicans said, there's no way you're going to throw a lifeline to Obamacare, which we have vowed for 7 years to get rid of. Well, that's exactly what happened. And in this case, the president flip-flopped like I've never seen before. It is very strange. And, you know, I don't agree with Charles Schumer too much, but he's right. You know, when you're the president of the United States, Mr. President, you have to have some consistency on this policy. You can't change your mind three times in 72
hours.
There's
no bill that's been sent to the president's desk. I mean, there's a whole other body of Congress that hasn't passed that.
It hasn't been passed, but there is a bill. It has been passed yet, but they crafted it Monday morning.
But, I mean, okay, there was a bill to get rid of Obamacare that didn't get passed either. So,
right.
I mean, I think if you pass something and send to his desk right now, I mean, it's very easy. Presidents have done this throughout history. Blame Congress for not getting something done. It's very hard to pass a bill in Congress.
But Scott, nobody's done it quite like this. And
nobody's ever taken a sixth of the American economy and socialized it like the Democrat Party did without any Republicans for it.
That's not the issue.
We're breaking history a lot
here. Debbie brings up a good point. the man has not been consistent. It's not like over a long period of time where some people change their views.
Oh, of course.
For it and again it within the same 24-hour period.
I agree with that. There is no part of Donald Trump that's consistent on anything except maybe guns. I agree with that totally. I just think, to Debbie's question, if they pass a bill that you can plausibly say eliminates Obamacare, I think he signs it. And I also think he's been consistently inconsistent since the day he said he was running for office.
Yeah, but this bill, you know, I don't know about repealing all of Obamacare. We tried that in the springtime. It did not work. You know, Republicans have the House, the Senate, the White House. They couldn't get their act together. But this would give money to insurers. And the president may have a point. Are you enriching insurers? Why are you throwing them money? And they say, we're doing this so that we can provide the subsidies to low-income people.
But as we head towards the midterms, I do have an election question. You've got Republican governors now who are joining with Democratic governors because they're seeing that this is going to fall on their plate of, you know, all of this crazy chaos with health care. And you're going to have a lot of people who voted for Trump thinking that he was going to do some great things for their health care because he did make big promises, and they're going to see their premiums going way up. So doesn't this have some political repercussions for the president?
The cost of insurance didn't go down because you quit sending subsidies from the federal government to it. Where do you think the federal government gets that money to send to the insurance companies? It's going to cost you the public the same. It's just how much of other people's health care should other folks have to pay for. I think that's a similar debate throughout government. And yes, it will be governors' problems. And I think you're seeing some more of the pragmatic governors step up and make sure people know that. But the public, a lot of those Republican governors got elected promising to get rid of Obamacare. So, I mean, don't promise the people things. Or I guess maybe the real lesson is be careful what you wish for because you just might get it.
Also, keep in mind that these midterm elections coming up, you know who's getting pretty active on the campaign trail? Barack Obama. He's getting out there. So he's going to
Joe Biden.
Yeah, no doubt. So Obama's going to get out there and try to make his presence felt as well. It's going to get interesting.
The Democrats want to lose a race, Hillary Clinton.
Total Information AM Overtime. The conversation continues on KMOX.
KMOX News Time is 8:52. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Charlie Brennan, Tom Ackerman, Scott Fawn of the Clayton Times, the Missouri Times, and other publications. Fame and fortune follow Scott Fawn. Let's talk about freedom of speech. It's been an issue that has been kicked around a lot, and one side says the other side doesn't support free speech, etc. But are there limits? And I bring this up because Richard Spencer is going to speak at the University of Florida. For those who aren't familiar, he is an avowed white nationalist. He, a couple days after President Trump was elected president, he had a big thing in a hotel ballroom in Washington, D.C., with about 200 people doing Nazi salutes. He also was part of that university, that Charlottesville thing with the torches, where they were screaming things about Jewish people. So he's going to speak at the University of Florida, and the governor is declaring a state of emergency. And they're having this conversation now in Florida. Is this pushing the limits of free speech, Charlie Brennan?
Well, how so?
Well, because he is an avowed white nationalist. He's a white supremacist.
You said it before. Why do we have freedom of speech?
Right.
To protect the speech that we disagree with. It's not so we can protect the speech that we agree with. And first of all, no one has to show up. No one has to attend this lecture. It's not mandatory. He's spewing hatred. That's not what anyone around here endorses. But in this country, you can do that. You can do that on public property. You can't walk onto someone's private property and do it. But you have the ability in this town or this country to get a soapbox and put it in the town square and just say nonsense. And the problem would be if the government came down on him.
Well, I think that the governor is a little concerned because the last time Richard Spencer had a big party, somebody ended up dying because of the subsequent protests. Scott Fawn?
Why is a college inviting him? That's the weird part to me. I think if they don't,
then they're accused of, you know, squelching free speech, right?
Well, you don't have to extend an invitation to anybody. I mean, I think you have the right to sit on the side of the street with a soapbox. And even if you're saying disgusting things, I think it's your right, and if you start stopping that person from speaking, before long they'll be in this room telling you what you can and can't put on KMOX. But why, you don't have to invite someone to speak, and that would be the interesting thing to me is, what group is inviting this person to speak, and maybe that's the group that deserves a scrutiny, not the crazy person spewing madness.
Well, I have said for years, before we had people like Richard Spencer, you know, the Ku Klux Klan would show up in a town, and it would basically be like six guys standing there with their little robes on, and then hundreds of people protesting them. So I would always say, well, what if nobody just showed up? We just ignored them, and it was five idiots standing there by themselves talking amongst each other. And when Ann Coulter was invited to speak in Berkeley, California, if people hadn't protested, who would have actually gone to it? You know, how many fans does Ann Coulter have in Berkeley? It would have just quietly passed by and no one would have even noticed.
I think the best example of the lunacy recently is when at William & Mary, 2 or 3 weeks ago, a representative of the ACLU was scheduled to speak. And she was shouted down by the protesters who claimed that she defends Hitler. And yeah, the ACLU did defend the rights of Nazis to march through Skokie, Illinois. That's true. I thought that was hilarious. The ACLU was getting shouted down. You know, they're the beacons of free speech, and they weren't allowed to speak.
I'm a proud member of the ACLU myself, and I think no matter how disgusting the speech is, you don't have the right to keep somebody from speaking. You do have the right, though, if you find out what group on campus is sponsoring a racist, an insane person, to criticize that group.
Sure.
and to whatever interaction you would have with them to end it. And I think that ignoring the speaker and focusing on the group is probably the best way to govern ourselves in a good free society.
All right. In the next 5 seconds, Charlie Brennan, what's coming up on the program?
Hey, among other things, the wine line and our Amazon bid.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.